Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another film review. This is going to be for 28 Years Later, the third of the three 28 films. I'm your host Matthew. We'll start off spoiler free, we'll go to our rating system. We've got strong must see, don't skip, possible skip, skip, and hard skip. I'm going to enjoy explaining this one, if that makes sense. I'm going to go with a strong must-see and a 10 out of 10, which I know I've given a lot of those out recently, but isn't that a good thing? I guess it means we're getting very good films, or at least I'm enjoying a lot of the films that I'm watching. Here's my small, not even issue, thing with this film. The parts in this film that are, let's say, slower, or used for build-up, or used to set things up, because while this is the third film in, like, an unofficial trilogy, although I think this film is supposed to be the start of a new trilogy, but used canon from the previous two, so make of that what you will. It's very much a kind of, okay, let's step back into this, you know, franchise for the first time in a while, at least, and kind of, like, reshuffle the deck a bit, let us tell you, like, who the new kind of main characters are, even though the three films have got different characters in them anyway. So, while I found those bits to be kind of just, okay, this is good to kind of, okay, get to know these new characters, see where they're at, see what's going on around them, see what's going on with the infected. There's this thing with a bridge in this film, there's a thing with, like, a mainland in this film, there's also callbacks to the past in this film, and all those were kind of like, okay, this is pretty good, like, you're not blowing my socks off, so to speak, with, like, these parts of the storytelling. But it's very interesting how those parts, connect to the full kind of brand new stuff, and kind of, okay, the film spends a chunk of time, like, saying, okay, here's where we're currently at, and that's the setup that I just described. And then there's the kind of, okay, here's where we're at, now here's where we're going, and then obviously here's where we end up by the end of the film. And when this film showed its new ideas, and I love the ideas that are in this film. I found them genuinely really, really fascinating. There was one scene in particular, for those of you that have seen it, involving a train, which I was quite shocked by, in the best way possible. There's a lot of, like, ideas floating around there. I think the way that they tease certain things in this film, and then pay them off, and then also things that they've teased for the very obvious sequel coming out. I think it's going to come out in 6 months anyway. I think they set that up really well. I think they did a great job establishing the characters, giving them just enough within, you know, a 2-hour time period to show who they are, show what they're all about, along with some really, really great acting. You got some phenomenal actors in this film as well. You got Jodie Comer, you got Ralph Fiennes, Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Those are kind of like the main three adult actors. You've also got somebody called Alfie Williams, who I'm not familiar with, which he is the son in this film called Spike, who you'll get to know. And for a young actor, and, you know, there isn't that many great, like, young actors. But the ones that are very, very good make up for the ones that aren't quite so good, I think. I mean, I don't actually know how young he is. But anyway, he's really, really, really good. And that's very important because he's quite key in this film. So that was really great. But yeah, lots of new kind of ideas, which the film, I don't know how much I should talk about those in the spoiler-free section, but basically you've got, because we're now actually, okay, 28 years later, so rather than just 28 days, like the first month, and then 28 weeks, which is a bit more time, but not, like, you know, years in the future, and then you jump from weeks to 28 years later, things have changed even more, which you can clearly tell in this film. And then, so that's all going on. And then because, yeah, 28 years have passed, and it was explicitly said, I think, since, like, the first film, that these things are changing, they're evolving, they're not quite just, like, they're not just normal zombies. They're essentially, you know, enraged humans, but then that takes an evolved form. There's like a few, I don't want to explain what they are here, because the film does a good enough job, or excellent enough job, to explain to the new infected and to show them off in really, really cool ways. But there's like a couple of new types of infected, which I think sometimes with those ideas, that sort of thing can either be really, really cool or something that doesn't make sense. But they essentially showed, I think it was 3 or 4 different types of infected, and I liked all of them. But I'll let the film, but for those of you that have already seen it, you know what I'm talking about, and I'll talk about those in the spoiler section. But for those of you that haven't seen it, I don't want to be like, hey, here's all the new infected, because then that will kind of, it won't spoil it, but it will ruin the surprise of what this film sets up for you. But I really, really like that, because as I've said numerous times before, when it comes to zombie or post-apocalyptic storytelling, I don't always just want, oh yeah, zombies running after a group of people, how will they survive? Because that can come off a bit basic. I like different ideas, I like different types of, you know, whether you've got walkers from Walking Dead, all the different types from The Last of Us, the things that are in this, you've got like Black Summer, which has got like almost like athletic zombies and things like that. So I'm more of a fan of just, okay, rather than just showing me infected running after people, which is still great, show me your own new ideas. Some of them might be, you know, fall into some similar types that we've seen before, but as long as you put your own kind of spin on them a little bit, which I already liked what this universe had done with that, and the ideas in here just kind of take that further. So I really did love that. I really think that was very, very cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing where they go with that in the sequel as well. Still got lots to talk about here, though. We've got okay, structure and pacing. It felt like a film that was slightly less than 2 hours. I think it comes to like 1 hour 55. So I thought the pacing was very, very good. The structure, for the most part, you're mainly following like 2 places with some bits in between, and you're only following like mainly about 3 or 4 characters, some of which are in scenes together anyway, so they didn't really have any problems there. One part where they put a bit of a spin on that, and I quite like the idea that they did with this, and they do this in 2 different ways. Because you've got the emphasis on the years later, and it's not just a case of, okay, people have gotten older, time has passed, things have evolved, things have moved on. Because this is, I think it's set in Scotland specifically, if I remember correctly. It's British anyway. It's set in Britain. That's the point. And there's certain parts where they're showing you characters going to new locations. And I don't know why exactly they put this in this film, but I liked it anyway, so I didn't really mind what the reason was. Is they kept showing, and I guess it was an emphasis on, because this is the years film, they showed like old battle footage of what was happening, I guess, you know, decades ago, many, many, many decades ago, on those same lands. And again, I don't know how that was, what I was supposed to take from that, other than I like the sort of, I think that fits because of the years aspect. I think it's supposed to show like a passing of time. It doesn't really connect to, unless I miss something, and by miss something I don't mean like I went out and missed part of the film. I saw the whole film from back to front without any interruptions. I mean like if I personally, if something went over my head, that's kind of what I mean. I didn't really see a sort of, oh, this is why you're showing me this, unless it was just showing the passing of time. So you could have taken that out of the film, and you still would have had the same story effectively, but I thought that, even if that isn't the idea, showing a passing of time, that's my own, because sometimes, you know, you see something in a film, and you think, okay, I'm not sure why this is in here, but let me try and think of why this is in here, and that's why came up with. I don't think that would have worked for the days or the weeks film, maybe 28 months, because 28 months is obviously a long time, but 28 years later fits that quite well. So they show like some old like battle footage and stuff with this, I don't know what the role of this person would be. In the trailer you see this woman saying like boots, boots, boots on the ground. I'm not sure if it was a song or a chant or something like that. Unless it's some sort of Scottish thing, I'm not aware of it. I don't know. But when in the trailer, when she's going boots, boots, boots on the ground, I think she says move it up and down again, and then it gets like more and more intense. That's how that fits into that. Again, I'm not spoiling anything here by just explaining these bits. So that's how they kind of fit that into there. So I thought it was a cool idea. Don't know why it's in this film other than to show the passing of time, but I thought it was cool. So I didn't mind that at all. The other thing that they do with visuals and sort of editing and structure is they show, again, if this is what I think it's supposed to be, this like, when there's danger that's about to happen, or like a sense of danger, which there isn't a constant sense of danger. There's just that, you know, you always want to be on the lookout, but then characters start hearing things, and it does like this red vision with like a vision of bad things that could happen. Not like, oh, this thing's gonna happen, but it will either show like someone drowning, not gonna say who, it will show like someone drowning or someone in danger, or it will just show a bunch of infected, like keeping an eye out for the humans, or I think it was something like that. Anyway, I thought that was quite cool. So I liked both of the ideas that they did there. Again, this film is full of, while they don't get a chance to flesh them out, which is what a trilogy I suppose is for, at least on the basis of showing like a ton of brand new ideas for like, hey, this is the refreshed third film, we're going to use this and build on this to you know, build on what we had before, but then use this to kind of like come back and make a trilogy in terms of setting up and setting new ideas and still using them in this film, but then obviously you can flesh them out more in the next film. I thought they did a very, very, very good job with that, and I appreciate that a lot, because that was clearly thought about quite a lot in the writer's room and stuff, so I really enjoyed that. Let's speak about acting for a minute here as well. So you've got Jodie Comer, Ralph Fiennes, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, and Alfie Williams. All four of them are excellent at what they are given here to do. They're given a very, very, very good script. The writing in this film is really, really good. It's almost, because I remember when I talked about this with, going to bring up Last of Us again, when I talked about Last of Us Season 2, and it's like, oh, Pedro's really good, oh, Bella's really good, oh, Isabella's really good, oh, Jeffrey's also really good, and like, I couldn't pick out like a best actor from the show, because everybody was just standing out so much. I almost have the same, that's not a problem to have too many good actors in something, as long as the script is good, which it is here. They're almost all as good as each other, even the younger guy, Alfie Williams here. There's just something, and I was concerned in the first half that they were going to misuse Jodie Comer, who I've known from like a bunch of other British stuff. Because I was watching the first half of this film, and I was like, oh, you're kind of, I feel like you're misusing Jodie slightly. I hope that she's in more of this film at like a certain point. Then that does indeed happen, and she then really gets the chance to shine, and there's a few, again, that train scene really just, that I think that was maybe the best moment of the whole film. That also for me, because I spoke about kind of the first half, is sort of settling in, setting up, showing ideas, showing passing of time, you know, settling back in. The moment where this film clicked fully, like I was already really enjoying it, but the moment where I felt like, okay, now you're kicking on a bit more, right, was in that train scene. There's like four, maybe not four, maybe I'm exaggerating, it feels like there's three or four different ideas that the film had set up that had just come together in one moment in that scene, in the train scene. I was like, okay, this is where you're starting to like properly kick on with stuff, and then there's just a bunch of things that happen in that scene that just shocked me and just kind of blew my mind. I was I'll explain something in the spoiler section. Anyway, I thought that was really, really great, and she's very key in that scene. But yeah, that was where the film was like, okay, now it's clicked for me. Now it's, I don't know if it was halfway through the film, because I didn't have, you know, I wasn't looking at a clock, I didn't have timers in front of me, so I don't know. It felt like that was about the halfway point in the film, but I don't actually know that. So, But that was really good. But yeah, Ralph Fiennes is phenomenal. Aaron Taylor-Johnson, phenomenal. I haven't seen Aaron Taylor-Johnson be given great material for a while either. So that was really great. And then Alfie Williams, like I said, is new to me. He was fantastic as well. Considering the weight of what he's got to deal with here as well, I thought he handled it really, really, really well. So plus, like, there's a bunch of intense scenes with him in, as well as everybody else, but I thought he handled it fantastically well. But again, there's just, sorry if you can hear that car alarm, I think it's down the street somewhere, so never mind. Yeah, there's just something she does in this film, and I can't exactly explain what it is that she does so well. And I obviously knew she was very, very capable before I even sat down to watch this film. And I was very, very happy when I saw, like, you know, cast and saw that she was in this film, saw the trailer and all that. Very happy to see her in here. But she just... like, everybody's here is doing, like, a 10 out of 10 performance, but she just does, like, a 10.5. She just pips slightly above everybody else in this film. And they, again, all of them get given great material, but it's just something that she does here I just think is really, really fantastic. Just to speak a little bit about, because I didn't review them here, I spoke about them on Geek Town. I did, of course, see 28 Days and 28 Weeks later. That was very, very recently. I suppose I can talk about them, all three of them, as a collective. I don't know yet right now where I would rank them. That's probably the first question you'd have, is where would I rank these three films? At the moment, so if you're asking me, like, on the spot right now, I haven't thought about it a ton. I would say Years, Days, then Weeks, from best to worst. I love all three of them. I think all three of them have kind of each got their own thing. Obviously, Days and Weeks looks a bit older, but that doesn't make them worse necessarily. But yeah, I would say, and I think where this pips the other two films for me is just the ideas. And the ideas in the first one, fantastic. The ideas in the second one, fantastic. But again, maybe it's because the whole Years later and there's, like, more ideas pushed onto this film. So maybe it's just because of that. I feel like they really trumped it with that. So I would go Years, Days, then Weeks. I've seen Weeks getting, because obviously the conversation about these films is piped back up again because this film's coming out. I've seen Weeks getting a lot of slack compared to Days and Years. I wonder if it's maybe because, like, I don't think, Danny Boyle and Alex Garland didn't, like, direct the second one, but they did with the, I think it's the first and this third one. So I don't know if that kind of throws people off of something, but I saw Weeks later getting, like, oh, this is a bit, like, you know, not as good. It's kind of like the weird sort of middle one, but all three of them are different in a way. So the first one, I think, is maybe the most special just because it's what kicked this whole thing off. But yeah, I think what Weeks does is really, really great. Obviously, particularly that opening scene of Weeks later. Which there's a little nod to in this film as well. I'm not going to say too much here, but there's a little nod to that in this film as well, which I thought was really good. But yeah, you went in with this film, gave her a fresh kind of, like, here's where we're at, here's what's going on, injected a bunch of new ideas, which I thought was great, and used them well enough in this film, along with some really, really, really excellent acting. And I'm really looking forward to seeing where they go with things next. So, anyway, I think that's it for the spoiler-free section. I'll probably think of something later that I should have mentioned here, but it is what it is. But I thoroughly enjoyed this film. Strong must-see, 10 out of 10 for me. Again, there are those bits, I'm not sure if I explained this properly earlier, there are those bits where it's like, oh, this is the quiet, you know, this is good, this is set up, but then it gets, I felt like it got paid off really well, so that's why I'd still give it the same rating that I am. So anyway, we're on a good streak right now. How many must-sees have I given? There was, speaking of Alex Garland, there was Warfare. I don't know if I gave that a must-see or a strong must-see. There was Elio, I recently gave that two. There is Sinners, I recently gave that two. There's Thunderbolts, I gave that two as well. This. So that's, what's that, five films? I need to go back and check my rating for Warfare, but I think I gave it the same thing. So that's a streak of five. However, the next film I'm planning on seeing apparently isn't great. I haven't seen it myself yet. Is the next Jurassic Park film, which comes out this upcoming weekend. I did not like the last one at all. This is apparently the start of a new trilogy, I think it's supposed to be. It's got like all new. It's not got Chris Pratt or anything in it. So, because I think Scarlett Johansson's the lead in this one, isn't she? That's what is next up for me. But yeah, so that's, yeah, Elio, seen that, 28 years later. Then this Megan 2.0 that I'm curious to see, but I've noticed the screenings have been a bit reduced on that one, so I don't know when. I know if I will, because I know that I will. I don't know when I will get to that one, but I saw Megan one recently, thought it was fun, thought it was cool. I'm curious to see where the second one goes. Whether I'll get to the cinema for that one, not because of my own choice, but because of times. We have to just wait and see, because we're about to get like the barrage of, Jurassic and then Superman and Fantastic Four. So I'm not sure how long Megan 2.0 will be around for. Says that one, and then of course we've got the big three. Sorry, Megan 2. If I get to that one, then the big three for July, which is Jurassic, then I think Superman, then Fantastic Four. I've recently done previews for both Fantastic Four and Superman, if you want to check those out. And then after that, I believe more stuff comes out. So, I still do want to see, it will be on VOD now, but Drop and Amateur are two other films I wanted to see. So anyway, that's the film reviews update. That's what to expect from me next. So yeah, the big July films are the ones that are coming up next. So look out for those. But yeah, anyway, how do you feel about 28 years later? Did you enjoy it as much as I did? What did you think of the new ideas? Did you maybe think it was a bit of a slow film? Yeah, let me know your thoughts. But whether you, I mean, I assume that you would have seen the other two as well. Let me know your thoughts on those. Let me know your thoughts on how you would compare or rank these three films. And are you looking forward to, apparently again in 6 months, the sequel to this comes out. So curious to see where they go with that. Anyway, any of your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK, and, sorry, eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk for social media, and there's information in your show notes. We will go to the spoiler section in a minute, but I'm just going to do the outro here for all the spoiler-free people as well. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, main night podcast. There should be a gaming talk tomorrow. That will be for Wednesday. Then there should be, yeah, Jurassic at the weekend. I think that's going to be Sunday, maybe. So if I can get a screening for Megan on Saturday, I might go to that one as well. So that one is depending on screen times. Says that there's a couple of United Cast episodes recently. Did a few of those. Speaking of other film reviews, like I said, Elio, Fantastic Four preview, Superman preview. We recently wrapped up with The Last of Us and celebrated both games' newest anniversaries. There's also my Win or Lose review, so for Pixar's other new thing, their TV show, Gaming Talk from last week as well. And, oh yeah, I did like a mental health update podcast as well, so you can check that out as well if you want to. Anyway, support all the content we do. If you'd like to do that, that would be great. Entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms. Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, main eye podcast. Check out more by listening to more on the two places I've mentioned. I assume you found one of them because that's how you got here, I guess. Anyway, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio is currently on a hiatus because David's on holiday, but you can still check out geektown.co.uk. Still been posting TV and film news, so check out all of that. And then, yeah, YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays for all of our game clips and things like that. Anyway, thanks very much for listening, and I'll see you on the other side for the spoiler section. Don't follow me in there if you've not seen the film. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Koalu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Koalu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Koalu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, it's time for the spoiler section, and there's some big ones, so if you haven't seen 28 Years Later, go and watch it, first of all. Why would you not do that? And then, pause this, come back when you're ready, etc, etc. Let's talk about the train scene first. I really want to go there first, because I loved that thing. I thought that was awesome. I'd say, just to actually go backwards on that a second, I know I said that I'd start there first. It was interesting when we saw, it was in some sort of like riverbank or something. I might have even called that the wrong thing, but that's what I'm going to go with. And there was like a bunch of infected hanging around. There was the soldiers that were taking out a few of them, and it went on from there. And they'd already introduced that, like, okay, there's the alphas, there's the ones that are sort of like the ordinary ones, there's these new like bigger ones, like a bloater-esque sort of thing. And then there's like, the other ones. And the camera pans over this riverbank-esque thing. And, of course, they all look different anyway, because, you know, they're different people that are infected. And I was looking at them, and the camera was very deliberately panning over them. So I was giving them like a close look, rather than just, oh, this is another shot of some, you know, zombies or whatever. And the camera focuses on one of them, and this one's kind of waddling a little bit. What's going on with that? And then it continues focusing on it, and I was like, because I couldn't tell, you know, what gender it was or anything, because, you know, very sort of disfigured and all that kind of stuff, at least not from that camera angle. And then you notice, like, oh, it's got like a pretty big belly. And then it carried on for a few more seconds, kept waddling, and I was like, oh, is this film trying to tell me that, like, oh, this was a pregnant mother who got infected? I cannot remember the last time. Now, I've seen pregnant characters get infected in other zombie apocalypse stuff. But usually, at least from my memory of, like, you know, Walking Dead, Last of Us, everything else, you don't usually see an infected pregnant, like, a pregnant infected. Usually you see a character who's still human, they are currently pregnant, and then they will get infected, and it will be like, hey, try to cut the baby out, or, you know, do whatever, depends on the situation. I cannot remember the last time in anything I saw a pregnant infected, and it was waddling around, and I thought, because I didn't really think, like, oh, we'll see that in this film, I see it again, and I was like, oh, that would be, like, and then, because for some reason I didn't think, like, oh, we're going to see this in, like, 20 minutes in the film, and something, you know, wild is going to happen, which something wild definitely did happen. And what was it? And I was like, oh, that would be a really cool concept to see, like, well, how does this work? Like, is the infected gonna give birth? What is the baby gonna be like? I started, like, hypothetically thinking about those things because I didn't expect, like, oh, we're gonna see this in 20 minutes and see what actually happens when this. And this, like, heavily pregnant, this thing's like waddling around and, you know, full 9-month-esque belly, whatever it is. But I looked at that and I thought, like, I wonder if they'll do something with that in the future. Like, I wondered if they would. And I knew in the back of my mind, like, okay, you're also setting things up because you're going to do a sequel. I was like, oh, I wonder if we'll see it in the sequel. Then we get to the train section, and I don't know if it was the exact same infected. I'm going to guess that it was. But I don't know for sure that it was the same one, but let's just say that it was. And it's sitting there giving birth, like it's screaming, and the mother, Isla, I think her name is, hears it, and she, because she has her whole like motherly storyline going on in the storyline, which I thought was done amazingly well. And they meet that other guy, and of course there's the son with them, and they're all kind of wondering what to do. She wanders off towards this infected. I don't know if she knew or could tell by the screams if it was just, oh, a human pregnant person, or what the status of the mo you know the pregnant mother was at the time. I don't know what she thought was maybe going on. And gets in there, and usually most people, most characters, most people in the situation would look at that and be like, right. That zombie's probably going to come out. It's going to be infected. It's going to start crawling around or whatever. It's going to be like a zombie kind of thing. And then, of course, once the infected thing gives birth, it's going to get back up and then start running at you. And then she walks over to it and kind of understands a bit at first. The other two are a bit panicked. They're a bit like, whoa, don't get. Because I was as well. I was a bit like, okay, don't get too close to it because you don't really know what this thing's gonna do. That doesn't mean you kill it straight away, you stand back a bit and you see what it does. But then her motherly kind of thing kicks in, and I totally understood it. I didn't think it was sort of like a stupid thing for the character to do. I understood the other two characters being a little bit more like, be careful, but I looked at her in that moment and kind of realized what she was doing, and I didn't blame her for that. Might not be the smartest thing to do, but I understood why she did it. And sits there next to it and then actually holds its hand out. And I was trying to get, and I would love to like watch the scene again. Because it almost, the infected, let's just call her an infected woman, almost behaved more human in that moment. It was a very interesting way to do that. And for all the zombie stuff I've ever seen, I do not remember seeing something like this. And then is like fully doing the whole like hold the hand, all that kind of stuff, and then gives birth to it, and it's actually human and not infected, which I almost found even more. Like as we went step by step by step by step in this thing all the way to when the alpha is running through the train. Again, I just thought this whole scene was really awesome and the best scene of the film to me. And then like actually gives birth, and like right now that this infected is not focused on that. Because it has done the thing that it's trying to do, which is, get the baby out. What is it now going to do? And it did sit there for a minute, right? Like while the umbilical cord was cut and all this sort of thing. And then actually kind of jumps out a bit. Although we don't. Do we fully know what it was going to maybe do before that guy started shooting at it? And again, and it was interesting to see the three of them react kind of differently towards it, and I understood why each character was reacting the way that they were doing, way that they were. But yeah, that's to me, that's a new idea before because I've never that might have been brought up like the concept of that, but I don't think I've actually seen that in a zombie film before. Because usually it's like again, the woman is pregnant, is like sitting up against the wall. They try to get the baby out before the mother turns. The baby's then usually fine, and then they have to, like, before the mother either, it depends on what the thing is, either dies and then, comes back undead or, turns. usually try and put the mother down after the baby is born, but this was totally different. I also did expect, like, okay, that baby's probably going to be infected, and while it doesn't have any teeth, obviously, so it can't really infect you in the same way, plus it also won't have, like, nails to scratch you or anything. It'll have nails, it won't have, it won't be able to do that, is what I mean. Because in some zombie things, it's like, oh, if they scratch your skin, then you've got, like, you know, blood mark, and then that's bad enough to get infected. But it was actually human, and it wasn't infected. And I thought that was just a really brilliant idea. So credit to the film for doing that. I thought that was awesome. And then the alpha comes back, and, like, you get the head rip thing, or, like, the neck. Like, there's, like, bit of the spine comes out with it. I know we saw that in a couple of other scenes. I thought that was really, really cool. I thought these alphas were, like, really, really terrifying. So I thought that was great. And then just, like, reminded me a little bit of Train to Busan, although Train to Busan's much more stealth-focused than this. Just, hey, there's a massive alpha. Kind of looked a little bit like Jason Momoa. Massive alpha thing running through this train, and okay, you can close the doors on your way to slow him down, but you're not going to really stop him. And then, of course, Ralph Fiennes comes along, so I thought that was excellent. So really, really enjoyed that. But, like, damn, just everything from I love the conversation in the field, by the way, as well, after they get saved from this guy, and the conversation about his what was it, ex-girlfriend or something. I thought that was great. That's funny. I did not expect, I thought maybe there might be some, like, human happy moments. I did not expect to laugh in this film, and it didn't feel out of place, didn't feel weird or wrong or anything. I thought that was paid off very, very well, so I was really happy with that. So that was really great. But then that whole conversation, and, like, again, the mother being kind of in and out of focus and stuff, and them talking about her, I thought that was really great. But then, yeah, from then all the way through to when, like, Ralph Fiennes comes along and kind of stuns the alpha, I thought was just excellent. The short, like, train chase sequence, the whole thing with the infected mother, the alpha coming along, a spine rip thing. I just loved that bit. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that part. What other bits do I want to talk about? Yeah, the start being kind of a little bit of a throwback to the opening of the second film, but not with a greedy dad involved, with this kid, like, running away, because we saw that in, I think, the beginning of one of the trailers, the Teletubbies scene, and then the kids being all really scared, and, you know, they hear some banging, they don't know what's going to happen on the other side of the door. Didn't expect all but one of them to get massacred. Did not expect that. Had it on my mind as an option. Like, okay, these kids could die. That could happen. Did I think that was going to be the thing to happen? No, I did not. And I do like sometimes with films as well, you got this innocent little, or not just films, but scenes. You got this innocent, like, hey, the childish, you know, Teletubbies, it's fun and innocent and, you know, kid friendly and all that sort of thing, and you don't actually see, like, these kids get pushed on the floor and get ripped up, but you don't always need to show it like that. But then you just see, like, the blood splatter on the TV, and you're like, oh, okay, this has gone very, very, very badly. And then, like, the church guy, and wow, just everything there just was crazy. I didn't say which one do I think is, like, best or more crazy. They're both about as equal as each other. I think with 28 weeks, it's more about the amount of people that the dad leaves behind is wild. But, because that doesn't happen in the same way here. It's just a kid that runs away. So, that was great. Then you got kind of, like, the mainland stuff. I thought that was really good. I really like this idea of this, like, bridge thing. But then you can't cross it if there's too much water, because I do like in, if you think of it as, like, base building ideas in the apocalypse, like, okay, as much as you can get the resources you can get, can you bring the world back to what it was before? And maybe in, you know, another 28 years, or it depends where you even are. Because you get in some of these stories like full on military bases and things like that, where they're like really, really well equipped. But I do like the sort of, okay, we figured out this gate thing and this mainland thing, and you know, you there was the rules and all that. But then this idea of, okay, we made kind of a makeshift bridge, but if it's raining too much, or I think it was to do with the tide, wasn't it? Like, it's really, really dangerous to cross. So there's still that kind of, we got this safety idea, but there's an issue with it. There's like a, you know, a human kind of fault to it, I think. I thought that was quite a good idea, which you see play out later when the dad is trying to run to the mainland and gets kind of caught in the water. I thought that was very good. So you got that. What else do I want to talk about? I want to actually talk about the ending at the end, because a lot of people said they were thrown off by it, and maybe because I heard, oh, the ending of this film is a bit different and a bit weird, I was more prepared for it, but I'll talk about that in a second. What else did I really, really like? Of course, you've got Ralph Fiennes as his character, his whole, the Stonehenge thing. Sorry, not Stonehenge, the skull bit with all that. I do like the idea of the sort of apocalyptic prepared survivor, but they've not found the need for, like, you know, military weapons or tanks or anything like that. They're sort of it's like the Daryl Dixons of the world. Like, you won't really get, although Daryl Dixon does carry around like a crossbow and assault rifle, you won't really get sort of that from like a Daryl Dixon. You'll sort of get, okay, Daryl with his crossbow, shove him in the woods, he'll find some way to be fine, you know, which is what this guy has done, essentially. I thought that was really cool. But this guy who's like on his own, he comes across certain survivors, he's apparently been dealing with this alpha for like a few years as well. Again, you've got kind of that, like, oh, you've stunned him and you're very comfortable around him. We find out why. We find out he's been doing this for a few years. And then, like, oh, but okay, just be, you know, he's going to wake up soon. Let's kind of get a move on. I thought that was really great. One scene that did kind of terrify me and I didn't expect is later on with him, and I'll talk about Jodie Comer's Isla and her death and everything, because that was quite something. But the bit after that, when the young lad and Ralph Fiennes' character, the doctor that they're trying to find, I like that they said GP as well, that's what they're called over here. So all of this is set in Britain. So I thought that was like a nice callback to sort of modern day, or our current times, because that's what we call them over here, GPs. And this, like, while he's not safe from this alpha, it's like he's got certain traps that he's very, very sure about, right? And we know that, okay, if this alpha catches you, they seem to enjoy ripping your, you know, neck out, basically. Pulling your head off, ripping your neck out. And, like, there's, like, the front gate bit, and he's banging on that and banging on that. And I couldn't quite see exactly what he'd locked it with, so I wasn't sure how safe that was, or if he was just going to, like, smash his hand through it or something. Then they think they're fine for a second. And then comes through, like, some other entrance, I don't know, like, where that hole kind of came from, but then actually pulls him up, and he's, like, trying to fight him off a little bit, and it's the young lad who ends up stunning him. But I was like, oh, wow, like the, you don't always expect the sort of, you know, the prepared one, the sort of smart one to get, to be the one to get caught out, and he did end up needing the boy's help to do that. Because I thought, like, oh, any, because I thought he have, like, I'm not quite sure how he held him off, but he did, like, have his head, it was near his head, and I'm like, oh, God, any second, is he just going to pull it, and just, but, thankfully, that didn't happen, so, because even I was like, oh, I'm going to guess he's probably going in there before, he's probably hidden from the alpha in there before, because, again, it seems like this is almost like a routine in his life. So that was really, really interesting. But you don't expect that sort of character to get caught out, do you? Because again routines and things like that. It's not even as if he'd slipped up. There was just something just unexpected that happened, I guess. So, yeah, that was awesome. Let's talk about Isla and her whole death thing. So, we know that obviously she's ill from the start of the film. I wasn't sure what it was that was wrong with her. And I was genuinely a bit worried that if you put Jodie Comer in a film or in any project and you have her, well, there's a purpose to it at the beginning and it gets paid off with this at the end, you have Jodie Comer sitting in a house playing an ill character, and that's fine, but then the two guys went off together and I was like, are you going to return to Jodie Comer's Isla? Are you going to return to her? Are we going to see her again? Is it going to be a case that you get back there and she's just died? Like they go back to her bed and she's just died. I was a little bit nervous that was going to happen at one point. I was like, please don't waste Jodie Comer like this. Because that's one thing I really, really don't like with certain films is you see like a trailer for a film and it's like, we got this person and this person and this person and this person. And like eight different really, really talented people. And you're thinking, this not only looks really good, but how can you possibly have a bad film when you've got so much talent? But then sometimes you do end up wasting it. Whether it's from a bad script or like odd spots of screen time each or something, and like nobody really gets a chance to shine. But thankfully none of that actually happened here. She does get obviously her whole storyline thing as well as the awesome train scene as well. But thankfully they come back, and obviously it was because the dad had messed up and the son and the mum ran off together, which I thought was cool. Didn't expect the dad character to end up, well, basically as an abusive person and a cheat. I didn't kind of see that coming, but then it's that slow sort of, oh, he's wandered off with this girl and then sees, you know, the young lad sees the two of them, and that's the first kind of like, oh, you might not be as good as what you came across before then. Although you do get a little bit of a hint to it when they come back and they're like, yeah, he took them all down, and they're like, okay, why are you lying about this? What is, so that you can show off or something? Like, hey, I'm the dad and look at what my son did, even though that wasn't what actually happened. Yeah, maybe that was the first kind of little drop there. So, but yeah, that whole thing of, the cancer stuff popping up, I suppose the question to ask, and I don't know why he would have needed to do it, is, because we don't know for sure that she did, right? That guy could have said anything, right? But if he wanted her dead and out of the way, what would the reason for that have been? That's not what I took from it, but that's a possibility we have to consider, is, okay, did he want her out of the way for some sort of reason? But Ralph Fiennes' character, he never came across as, like, ill-intended or evil. Because he could have killed them both as soon as he saw them, couldn't he? Or just, you know, obviously save them. He could have let the Alpha just kill them both. So, my gut feeling is to go with, like, okay, that was actually what was wrong with her, and he managed to end up giving her peace somehow. Although, did we see how he actually killed her? I can't remember. I know there was the sleeper dart thing with the sun. I thought what he was going to do was, because they were hugging, I was like, oh, is he going to shoot her in the head with something? Because he walks off, they're like, the son and the mum are sort of hugging and consoling each other. And the doctor walks off, he picks this, like, pipe-looking thing up. And I'm like, what are you doing? But, yeah, none of it in the end came across to me as, like, ill-intended. So, I'm going to go with what the film showed me. So, anyway, so that was really great. And then the skull on top of the thing. We don't know if that got knocked down, but we do know that the Alpha went in there and started knocking a bunch of stuff down. So there was all that. Really, really awesome stuff. Really, really awesome. Is there any particular scenes I need to talk about and point out? I don't think so. Talking about the ending, I suppose. So yeah, it's you get a brand new set of characters led by Jack. I think his name is Jack O'Connell, who we've recently seen in Sinners. We've seen in I first saw him in Skins, the E4 YA drama. Phenomenal show. Go and watch that if you can. Also, watch both things. Watch Sinners because it's phenomenal, and also watch Skins because it's phenomenal as well. So, both totally different things, but just check them both out anyway. And is leading this like fun group of people? I don't really know what to make of them yet because we've seen them on screen for all of a few minutes. But seems to have. So there's something going on there, clearly. But they helped the young lad out. I did wonder how he was going to get out of that because I didn't think the film was going to end with him dying. Could have been wrong, but that's not what happened. But they're a new group who we're going to see more of, I guess, in the sequel, unless they die in the first 5 minutes or something. And they, yeah, certainly stick out more as being different than all the other characters in the film. So, again, interesting ideas, lots and lots of interesting ideas, and we'll see what they do with them in the sequel here as well. So, that was, I can't tell you yet if it's good or bad because we have to wait and see what they do with them, but certainly intriguing, at least. Certainly intriguing. And then we do get the one scene near the end as well of the baby gets delivered back to the main place. And then, of course, the letter with the son telling the dad about what had happened. And we leave him in the water for now. Did wonder what they were going to do with him because he kind of wasn't on the screen for like a good 40 minutes or so, right? The dad. I wondered where they were going to. Where they were going to go with his character. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it. Thoroughly enjoyed the film. Curious to see where they go with the sequel now that this is like all booted back up again. And we'll see where they go with the ideas in this film and what gets introduced in the next film. Are we going to have more new infected in the next film? We'll have to wait and see, I suppose. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye. If I missed any scenes, let me know and I can talk about them later. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. Goodbye.